We're good. Shalom Aleichem to everybody. This week's Parshas Vayechi, last Parshas in Bereishis. Okay, a couple of announcements. First of all, you see always there's a camera in front of me. And that is TorahAnytime.com. They're absolutely amazing. They made it possible that when a person goes on the Tomadika internet, for whatever reason, that there's like, before you go to the wrong place, you could do tshuva and end up going to the right place, which is TorahAnytime.com. So you have a good place to go to. And there are many, I think there are 30 rabbis, 45 already, 45 rabbis on there that are speaking on many, 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 many different subjects. And it's 24/6. So you can go on anytime at night, any time of the day. And you can watch any one of the shiurim, and you can watch it twice or three times in a row. And it's just amazing what they're doing. And, you know, they have to hire people to go and tape all these shiurim. So they have like 10 guys out there with cameras, and they have to pay these guys. And the cameras cost money, and there's absolutely nobody supporting them. So, you know, all the Tumadika places, all the bad places on the internet, they have millions and millions of dollars. And, of course, the holy places on the internet have no support. So I think it's important that all of us, and some of us use TorahAnytime.com over here to, you know, to watch my shiurim, Rabbi Eli Mansour shiurim, to Rabbi Krohn, really to pretty much anyone, and they want to grow to get shiurim from Eretz Yisrael and from everywhere. So once a month, in Mirtz Hashem, we're going to pass around after the shiur a box, and you can drop in $20, $50, whatever it is, to help support. The guys who are running it do not make any money from it whatsoever. You should know that. I know them very well, the brothers, and they have a business, Baruch Hashem, and this is totally lishma. So whoever can help them, it would be very, very good. I don't know that much about computers, but I was told that it costs like $200 because you have to take this film, and then you have to download that, and then you have to reload that into the and it all has to be done by somebody, and it takes time, and it's done professionally. So like every shiur that I give, it costs them $200. It's pretty expensive. So, you know, the guy has to travel to tape it, and there's gas and whatever. So they're doing right now about 25 lectures a week. You do the math. 25 times 200. It's a lot of money. And they're running out of money. So if you can make out a check, TorahAnytime.com. I'm behind it all the way. It's a very, very big, very, very big mitzvah, and it's absolutely amazing. I want you to know that, you know, I know how many people hit my shear, and I know who hits my shear. And you better hit my share. So, because we're going to sell advertising. Maybe we should sell advertising on it. But there are people from Japan, right? Someone, there's someone from Japan that, what? Right, but the Japan one is what I'm interested in. There's someone from Japan who watches the share, who goes to Torah anytime, watches the share. Germany, England, all over the world. So it's really a very special thing that they started. You know, that everything Hashem creates has a good reason and a bad reason. TorahAnytime.com is the good reason that computers were created. And Daf Yomi, and there's a lot of different shiurim on it. So whatever you can help. You know, I think we have a lot of guys. If each guy gets $5 probably or $10, we'll definitely cover $200 for this year. Okay. So that takes care of Torah Anytime. Of course, they were there this Motzei Shabbos when I spoke. We were even on satellite. It was very, very good. And I want to thank Kala Lashon, who's also listening, and it's one of these machines on me, I don't know which one. But that's you're able to call in any time, and also to listen to hundreds and hundreds of shiurim. So Baruch Hashem, you know, even the cell phone has a good reason. What is he doing in this world? So he says the following. What did our rabbis teach us? Sha'adam, listen to this. Sha'adam lo nivra. A person was only created, the sole purpose he's created, al Hashem, ulohanois meziv shchinasai. The reason that we're here is to delight in the splendor of the Shechina of Hashem. Shezehu atanik hamiti v'idin agadam v'kol yidunim shechana l'matzai. Because if a person is able to get to the level that he is in the splendor of Hashem, that is the ultimate joy, and there is no more joy. Edunim is like candies. There's no sweeter thing in the world than getting close to Hashem. So you're going to ask me a question. How do you get close to Hashem in this world? In this world, you have a guf, you have a body, right? In the next world, you are ruach, you are spirit. God is not in the world of physical. God is in the world of spirit. So if I'm going to get close to Hashem, why'd you send me down here for? Why don't you just leave me up there? So what? It makes the question even stronger. What am I doing in this world? You should have left me. I was in Shemayim. All of us were in Shemayim. We didn't come from the ocean, right? We're not fish. We're all humans. Our neshamas came when we were born. So we all came from Shemayim. So where can you get closer to Hashem than in Shemayim? That's where He is. So the answer that the Messiah Yesharim is giving is a question. If my whole thing is to get close to Hashem, what did you send me here for? So he says the following. He says, how does one get close to Hashem? How does a person get close to Hashem? So he says, that's why we come down to this world. He says, because in this world there are mitzvos. And these mitzvos take us, these deeds that we do, take us to a higher level. And if we, and this world, as the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, there's a banquet hall, and there's that room in front of the banquet hall where you straighten out your tie, you look in the mirror, you brush your hair, you make sure your shoes are on good, you know, you make sure that your jacket and your pants match and you didn't by accident switch them at home, and you're going to look silly, right? That's like the hallway before you walk into the banquet hall. This world is the hallway to the banquet world, which is Olam Haba. I'm not going to give a shit tonight on Olam Haba, because the first question you can say is, how do I know? Prove it to me. How do you know? I was never there. Nobody ever came back. That's a different share. But that there is an Olam Haba, there's no question. The question is, how do I get to Olam Haba? So he says, the way to get to Olam Haba is to do mitzvos. In the other world, you can't do mitzvos. So in other words, to take my soul to another level, I can't do it in the other world. You can't take your soul to another level in the other world. You come down to this world to get the tools to do mitzvot, to bring your soul to a higher level, so that when the next world, you're closer to Hashem. Not in this world. That in the next world, you're closer to Hashem. What is the next world? Not what you think. Not Gan Eden. The next world is not Gan Eden. I'm going to talk a little deep for a moment. The next world, Olam Haba, is not going up to the Garden of Eden. There is going to be another world. Olam Haba, the world to come. This is not the first world, the one that we're living in. The Zohar says, thousands before us. Thousands before us. This is the final world. So I don't know, I'm not great enough to understand the secrets of the Zohar. But he speaks, and I can't, I don't have the ability. And there's not many people in our generation that have the ability. But maybe the world before this, we weren't on this level. Maybe we were amoebas. And maybe before that, I don't know. I don't know how HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us to this point. But at the point that the human being is today, and we're at a very high point. We have rocket ships and planes and computers, and we're at a very high point today. We're not prehistoric. We don't come from monkeys. And we're at a very high level. And this is the world. That's the world before the next world, which is the final world, which is the world of total 100% spirituality connected to a physical body. Where the shlemus, as we call it, the shlemus of a human being, being full, being fulfilled, is when you take your physical body and you connect it to your spiritual body and they become one. That's very hard to do. By Tchias HaMesim, there's going to be spiritual body. The next world is not going to be a world of a bunch of spirits running around. That's Olam Haba in this world. That's Gan Eden in this world. Olam Haba, you guys are going to come back as you are now. The only difference is that it's going to be such a pure light and such a clarity that your body won't get in the way of your spirituality. Where they're going to become mamash, they're going to become one. So when the Messiah Yesharim is talking about getting close to God, means that in this life, we have to prepare ourselves by doing mitzvahs, by doing the right thing, so that in the next world, when we come back, we will have the ultimate closest to Hashem, really, that we come back. Because the ultimate closest to Hashem will be in the next world, and many of us may not come back. There's no guarantee that everyone in this room is going to be back. And not only that, even if you're in Gan Eden, you're going to be judging Gan Eden, and there'll be many people left in Gan Eden that won't come to Olam Haba. Just because you get into Gan Eden doesn't mean you're going to make it into Olam Haba. There are three judgments. There are three judgments. There's a judgment of a person when he dies. It's a big judgment. There's a judgment of a person on his yard site. every single year. That's why we make a Kiddush. You're supposed to make brachas and learn to bring the neshama up, because you get judged when you die. After 120, you get judged for what you did in this world. Averis, mitzvahs, chesed, whatever you did, whatever you left in this world, that's what you get judged on. But every year, it changes. It changes. You taught someone Torah, you made someone religious, so now his children are religious. So the action is judged when you die. The reaction is judged every year. Every single year. Chas v'shalom, you do certain averis, and you chas v'shalom bring children into this world. People, for instance, who get married to non-Jewish women, and they bring those children into this world, those are non-Jewish children, you're going to get judged every year, because that child is going to have a non-Jewish child and a non-Jewish child. And your potential was to have a Jewish child and Jewish children and Jewish children. So you killed that potential. So every year they're going to judge you for what happened. Generation to Mashiach. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you answered the right answer. And therefore, Amal Hem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them, Tenu Loi Zu V'Zu, give him both. Give him the 400 years, and give him that him and his whole generation go to Mashiach. Now when you learn this Gemara, guys, who's amazing in this Gemara? Who's in Rapreza? The kid. The kids, listen, everyone comes away from this Gemara and they say, Rabbi Preda, what an unbelievable Rabbi, I wish I had a Rabbi like that. Rabbi Freifeld, Oliver Shalom, comes away from this Gemara and says, what an unbelievable kid. Rabbi Preda was an Amora. He was a Rabbi. He was a Gadol. This kid wasn't too smart. It took him 400 times to learn Gemara. Why didn't he do what our generation does? Why did he say, I don't have a head? I can't learn this? After 100 times, I didn't get it? I'm stupid? It's too hard to learn? I'm out of here. So Rabbi Freifeld said, don't look at Rabbi Preda. Look at the student. The student was willing to learn 400 times. What, our generation? He doesn't get after 5 times. Psychologist, psychiatrist, take your Ritalin, take your Concerta. There's something wrong with him. Get him tested. Special school. Put him in Petach. Put him in this. Put him in that. They put him in Petach. They put him in, what's that room in school that they put you in? Resource room. They gave him Ritalin. They gave him Concerta. They labeled him ADD. Oh, this guy was ADD, this kid. 400 times? And then he loses concentration because someone walks in and asks his Rebbe a question? Flashing ADD. So what did he do? He went home and took a pill? I didn't say this, Rebbe. This is Rebbe Freifeld 30 years ago. So he went home, he took a pill. He felt sorry for himself. He walked out and said, I can't learn like the rest of the guys. My class is so smart and I'm not smart. He said, Rebbe, teach me another 400 times because I need to know the Gemara. How long can you do that? How long can you learn 400 times till you get something? So we're going to go back a page. I think it's one page. No, it's 2 pages. Listen to this Gemara. The story, life is in the Gemara. Listen to this Gemara about a woman. Name was Berea. Very famous woman. Very famous woman. I think she wore tefillin. She was a very famous, she knew how to learn better than we do, that's for sure. She was a very, very, very big tzaddikista, and she knew how to learn very good. Listen to this story. Yeah, I think the Gemara brings down that she once wore tefillin. I don't remember the story exactly. She was the daughter of Rav Chanina ben Trajon and the wife of Rav Meir. Okay. There's a story in the Gemara, I don't know exactly, you'd have to look it up, but I think she wore tefillin once, I'm not sure. That's not what we're focusing on, guys. That's not the focus here. Sorry that I said it. That's not the focus here. Okay. She was the daughter of Rav Chanina ben Trajan, which is not a simple thing, and she was the wife of Rav Meir. And she was, there's a Gemara in Pesachim, if you want to look it up, it's probably there, in Samach Beis Amud Beis, And it says that she was a Torah scholar. Forget about it. Anyway, listen to this story. Bruria was walking past yeshiva one day. Ashkete lahu talmida. She encountered a student, a boy that was learning. He was reviewing his studies quietly, you know, like you learn, like you daven, to himself. He wasn't screaming the Gemara out loud. But Shabay, she kicked him. Gemara. She gave him a good kick, right? There's a guy sitting and learning. This lady walks by, she gives him a kick, right? Bashtabe, she kicked him. Armale, she said to him, like a kasev, didn't you learn what it says? Arucha bakol ushmura. Didn't you learn what it says in Shmuel that everything has to be arranged and then it'll be secure? So what does that mean? So she said to him, she's giving him a lesson. Im arucha barachavim shalcha. If your learning is arranged in all your 248 limbs, mishtameres, then it will be secure. What does it mean, secure? It will be not forgotten. But if not, enu mishtameres, it will not be secure, and it will be forgotten. Says the Gemara, Talmid Echad Rabbi Elazar, Shal Yishanah B'Lachash, Rabbi Elazar had a Talmud that was learning quietly. Lachah Gimel Shanim Shachach Tamudai. After 3 years, he forgot everything that he learned. Okay. What's going on over here? Why did she kick the guy? The guy's sitting and learning. Leave him alone. Halavai, we were all learning. Lady walks by, gives you a kick, and then she gives you a whole Musa shmooze. If you learn quietly, then your Gemara, then your Torah is not secure. So what's going on over here? So they explain the Gemara like this. Torah, mitzvos, is growth. Now, where does a woman, I don't care how great and what kind of tzaddikister she was, where does a woman have a right to kick, first of all? What are you kicking him for? That's number one. Tell him, why are you kicking him? That's number one. Kicking, he got hurt. It hurt. This time, give him a little tap. She kicked him, right? And why is a woman the one to give mussar here? To give criticism? His rabbi should have criticized him. He's reading the Gemara. Rabbi should come out to scream. It's beautiful. So the teretz is that who knows more about reaching potential by screaming than a woman in childbirth? No, in childbirth, not screaming at her husband. In childbirth, when the child is finally born after 9 months, and she's going through all that pain and all that pain, how does she get a product? How does she get a product? How does a child born? Nobody, no woman can give birth without screaming. The child is born through screaming. So she understood what she was trying to tell this Talmud is that learning Torah is not 1 second to the next. It's like a woman who's pregnant. It's growth. It's growth. And you could start off as a person who you need 400 times to learn a letter. And there's so many gedolim and tzaddikim that will tell you that when they were young, they couldn't get anything into their brains. And they tried and they sweated and they tried and amelus b'torah, effort, 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 pushing, effort, effort. And then all of a sudden one day they understood the Gemara. And then one day they understood Rashi. And then one day they understood Tosfos. And then all of a sudden they Achrayim and Rishayim and things that they couldn't believe that they understood. Why? Because it's not knowledge. It's not a biology teacher. If you go into Yale or Harvard's library and you go into Mir Yeshiva's Beis Medrash, which I was in today, and you hear these guys screaming at each other, like they hate each other. What? You think Rav says that? What, are you crazy? Didn't you prepare this Gemara? They're yelling, it's life. You can't hear yourself. I couldn't hear my brother. I was sitting next to my brother. Couldn't hear a word he's saying. Whole place is screaming at each other. And then you go to the library, in the highest institution in America. Shh. You can't even whisper to the guy next to you. Why? Because they're gathering knowledge, memorizing knowledge. But there's no growth. The knowledge doesn't grow. A guy who has 160 IQ, and he gobbles up books, and he has a photographic memory, and he can be an actuary. But from being an actuary, that's it. And from being a professor in biology, that's it. You can't go any further. In Torah, Shmuel Birnbaum, Baruch Hashem, Yishtav Refuah Shleima, Shmuel Birnbaum, who's suffered, no human being would be alive today. There's nothing to talk about. His heart stopped, this stopped. He's Kulei Torah. Today, he gave Chabur in Yeshiva today. The man's in his middle 80s. Any one of us that would have his sickness, we'd be dead. There's nothing to talk about. Very, very sick. He sat in yeshiva today in front of 400 guys. I was sitting there. And he gave he was supposed to give a 45-minute, ended up giving an hour chabura on Gemara and Ksuvis. He wasn't in this world. He was screaming, he was yelling right after he finished. Forget it, you can't talk to him, he has no chayach. But he wasn't in this world. Did you ever see that on a biology teacher? Or on a chemistry teacher? You guys are in college. If they don't feel well, you know it. Forget it. Open your books and study yourselves, or I'll fail all of you. But Shmuel Berman was screaming and yelling. Chemo, radiation, his heart stopped. But it's Torah, and Torah is growth. And growth is yelling and screaming. You're Amach Evarim, you're 248 when you're davening, shaking and jumping. Watch the Christians pray. There's no movement. That's the way they pray. They sit there and they don't move. Fine, that's the way they pray. That's not the way we pray. We got to grow. I knew a Rav, my Rav, Rabbi Weinfeld's father. I remember as a little kid, he stood by the Aron HaKodesh, and when he started davening, he started shaking. By the time he was up to us, Yashir, this man was jumping off the floor 2 to 3 feet. I was a kid, I thought it was very funny. So I used to park myself next to him and watch him jump up and down. You understand? Fire! The man was fire. He was down to Hashem. He was flying. So came Brurian, saw this kid sitting and reading a book like he's in a biology class. So she kicked him. And she said, jump! You'll never remember the Gemara if you just read it. Torah is growth. Learning is growth. Davening is growth. The first time you get up and you have to go to Minyan, bleh. The second time it's a little more. Anyone here who didn't go to Minyan, who's going to Minyan for a few years, your davening is different. You're jumping, you're different, you're on fire. If you're not, you need to get kicked. And that's what she did. She said, I know what it means to have a baby. You can't just sit there and say, okay, baby, come out. Like, just slip out and you'll be here. If you don't push and you don't scream and you don't push and you don't scream, that baby's not coming out. Chas v'shalom, that baby's going to die inside. Torah, you have to push and you have to scream and you have to yell, and it has to become part of your life. And that'll bring you closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because what Buria was saying, and what the Gemara is saying, is that in order to make spirituality physical, you have to combine the two. So when you're davening, you got to yell, and you got to jump, and you got to go crazy. And when you learn, you got to go to yeshiva, and you got to yell and scream and yell at that guy. And make the Torah part of your life, you will grow, and you will grow, and you will grow. But if you just sit there, says the Gemara, and you just read it like a biology book, your biology that you learned 3 years ago, you also forgot. You're going to forget it. It's not going to last. Vayechi Yaakov. Life. It has to be alive. Being a Jew is being alive. Not just lip service. Not just reading. It has to be jumping and yelling and screaming. And if you're embarrassed to do it in front of other people, do it in your room. When nobody's home. I'm serious. There are times, you may think I'm crazy. There are times that on a Saturday night at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm learning something and it's so amazing that I start jumping around the kitchen. If you saw me, you'd think I'm out of my mind. There's not much in this world that can make me jump anymore. I'm an old guy. I don't jump that much anymore. You know, it used to be a good rock and roll song made me jump, Nebuch. And a good blackjack also made me jump. You know, the wrong things made me jump. They don't make me jump no more. But a good Dvar Torah and something amazing, a gematria from left field to right field, and they match. Oh, my goodness. That's how you grow in Torah. And that's how you get to the next world. And that's how you get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Life has to be life, has to be alive, has to be jumping. So I want to tell you a story. Two stories. Three stories. Two stories. Like this. Some of you have heard of it, some of you have not. We all start at a different place in life. And some people are much smarter than others. This boy wasn't very smart. But he made it into the Gemara. And not only did he make it into the Gemara, because of him, boys, his whole generation is going to be by Mashiach. If he would have walked out, listen carefully, this is what I got from the whole thing. If he would have walked out after 200 times and said, hey man, this Torah, this Gemara, this Chumash, this isn't for me. I don't get it. Now 200 times is a lot. We're running at 10 times. But 200 times a lot. If he would have ran out of 200 times, say, listen, Hashem didn't give me the brains. Hashem didn't give me the zitzflesh to be able to, you know, to sit and listen to a shir. God didn't give me the utensils. Have a nice life. I'm going to go to work. You know, I don't have the brains. Then him and his whole generation wouldn't have gone to Mashiach. What did this boy do? This guy who probably had a pretty low IQ that he had to learn at 400 times, and probably the other kids in his class were not very happy about it, right? What did he do by learning it 400 times? This plain kid who was no Gadol HaDor, no Rosh Hashiva, because of him, his whole door, Hashem said, you're all going to Mashiach. Every one of you, your Rebbe, and every single person. Which means that any guy in this room who has a problem learning, who doesn't get it, if he sits and he works and he works and he works, he has the potential to bring us all to Mashiach. Any one of you has the potential to bring the whole generation to Mashiach because he tried and he tried and he tried and he didn't walk out on his Rebbe. And he didn't give up. And you don't need medicine. I know I'm going to get thrown about it. And you don't need medicine when it comes to Torah. When it comes to Torah, you don't need medicine. ADD, ADHD, all the other things that they give you, BCA, all the different letters that they have, maybe you do need medicine. Maybe you do, because that's the physical world. That's the natural world. The natural world, you can't focus for whatever reason. I was so ADD, you guys have no idea. You have no idea. I couldn't sit for 5 minutes. Even today I can't, as you can see. Only when I'm talking. It's very hard for me. It's very hard for me. There's no question. I would have been so medicated, I would have been a zombie walking around yeshiva. There's no question. I was off the walls. My father sat me down. Let's learn. Let's learn. He did contests. He did games. He pushed me. He didn't push me. He pushed me. You have to work. You have to work. When it comes to Torah, you can take an ADD guy, but if he tries and he tries, he can give shiurim. He can prepare. To this day, it's very hard for me to sit and listen to someone speak. I have no question. I took a kid. This was really a lot of fun. I took a kid from my school to a therapist to be tested. So we're sitting there during the test, and you know, you have these tests, and this is a serious test. It's a serious test to see if someone's ADD and if he's connecting, and they're talking to him, and then they change the subject, and then they go back to the first subject and see if he could switch back to the first subject. And sometimes your mamash can't. You know that the kid, he can't do the switch. The switch is off. The switch is off. I mean, you're ADD, right? Anyway, she finishes testing and whatever it is. She's not going to give me the report. She's going to give the parents report. So she turns to me and she says, Rabbi, can I ask you a question? I'm like, yeah, were you ever diagnosed? I said, excuse me? She said, were you ever diagnosed? I said, for what? She says, you realize that, you know, I was very careful because I'm scared of therapists, that when I sat there, I didn't jump around. Right? So, like, what did she see? So she said, well, there's a study that if you shake your leg when you sit, which I do all the time, my grandchildren, they don't need a horse or a rider or anything. You put them on my lap and they're happy for 5 hours. You want to mix a drink, you put it on my lap. Whatever you want. My lap is going like this all day long. All day long. I could jack your car up. You want to change the tire? Put it on my lap. My lap is jumping up and down the whole time. I'm a drummer. I can't sit, right? So she says, you know, I was watching your leg. Thank you very much. That's nice. I was watching your leg. During the whole session, your leg is going up and down, up and down. She says, that's a symptom of ADD. I said, okay. You tell that to my chabura. Ask them if they have a problem with it. So what I'm trying to tell you here is, now, of course, I'm going to get a lot of whatever for this, but I don't care because Rabbi Freifeld's bigger than I am, and the Torah is bigger than I am, and when it comes to Torah, there's no such thing as ADD. Because in Torah, there's a key. And a person who tries and tries and tries, which we'll talk about next week, Moshe Rabbeinu, God gives him that key. In the rest of life, in business and in English subjects, I'm not telling you that it does exist. There's nothing to talk about. And medicine might help, and therapy might help, and do whatever you got to do. But in Torah, if you have to learn 400 times, learn 400 times. Don't label the kid. Learn with him 400 times. Oh, you don't have the money, you don't have the Rebbe, you don't have the patience. That's your fault. That's your generation's fault. Thought to myself, who paid Rabbi Prater to teach 400 times? So maybe the generation was allowed to go to Mashiach because they had Rabbeinu that they were paying, that they were taking care of like that. Maybe this generation we're going to have a problem because we don't have a resource room in every yeshiva. And we don't have Rabbeim to teach our children 400 times. Everything's in a rush. And the best two kids out of the 20 get the attention and the rest of the 18, yalla. A nice life. But in Torah, if a Rebbe would take a kid, I don't care if he has a zero IQ, and he would sit, Torah in itself has the medicine. The medicine for the soul and the brain is hidden in the Torah. Like it says, Hanukkah's over now. Where do the 36 hours of the hidden light go? The Or HaGanos? You can find it in the Torah. You want to find Or HaGanos? Go to Mir Yeshiva tomorrow at 11 o'clock and watch what's happening. Fire! Bigger than a giant football game. Because a giant football game, they yell, and then when the guy gets tackled, gets quiet. And then with the other team, it's altogether quiet. Here, it's going. Whole place is screaming. They're walking up. They're walking down. The Shtender's going this way. The Gemara's going that way. You guys don't know what you're missing. You don't know what you're missing. My whole life, as a kid, I was running out of the Beis Medrash. Now I'm trying to find a half an hour to be in the Beis Medrash. It's like leaving this world. It's better than drugs. I can't compare. I never did drugs. But I can imagine. It's leaving this world. It really is. You're walking into another world. No phones, no radio, no television, nothing. Just Torah, cult Torah. Everyone's happy. Everyone is in the basement. They're happy. They're not walking around. Yeah, man, I got to chill. What's up with life, man, you know? Tell me the meaning of life, Rabbi. What's the meaning of life? The guy's eyeballs are like, yeah, so what's the meaning of life? What time did you get up this afternoon? Oh, well, I was up till 4, and I got up this afternoon at 4, and I'm going to be up till 4, and I'm going to be, what'd you do till 4? Hey, I was chilling on the corner with my boys and my posse. And what did you guys do? Like, did you build a car? Did you build a boat? Did you have a very deep discussion and find out the galaxies that they found now just a million miles away, which I have to read you next week? They found galaxies a billion miles away, and they won't give God any credit. No credit to God. Billions of miles away, and this constellation is interrupting with this one, and it's in. I was reading it in Time, whatever it is, and I'm like, okay, let's talk about. And it's so vast; it's a billion years wide and a billion years long, and it takes like 100 trillion, 1 trillion, 1 trillion years for it to happen on its own, random. And I'm like, you idiots! How could such smart people be such idiots? You're looking at something that's a billion miles long and a billion miles wide, and a billion light years away. And you can't get up and say, maybe something created this. No! It happened by accident, but it took a trillion, zillion, million years to happen. And why did it happen? We don't know. So, if you want to be stupid, a person can be stupid. We're going to talk about it next week. I'm doing my little, you know, writing on. I'm going to make really a lot of fun of it, Mitzvah Hashem. And I want to make sure that I do it correctly. So that's for next week. But the Torah has the power. Everyone has to know that. And davening has the power. And tefillin and tzitzis has the power. If you want it. Did you can bring Mashiach? The kid who learned once and understood it didn't bring Mashiach, boys. The kid who learned 400, 800 times brought Mashiach. Yeah. They all like the smart guys. Look at the Gemara who brought Mashiach. The kid who learned 800 times. Brought Mashiach. The kid that no one gives attention to, the one that's labeled the dummy, the one that's labeled the nothing, the one that's labeled you're not going anywhere, the guy that takes 800 times